From the National Endowment for the Arts, this is Artworks. I'm Josephine Reed.
I'm very passionate about what I do. I care about it deeply, and I also feel a responsibility to the African-American community, the Black community, or just the community as a whole, to showcase and highlight and illuminate the gifts, the challenges, the triumphs of Black artists here in our region and also just globally. I think that we have an opportunity to have a global reach with our programming, and I'm committed to that.
That was Janice Burley Wilson. She's the president, CEO, and artistic director of the August Wilson African American Cultural Center, a culturally specific multidisciplinary arts center located in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. The center presents artistic, educational, and community programs that tell the multiplicity of stories of the African American experience. The building, a showstopper designed by Allison Williams, offers multiple exhibition galleries, a 492-seat theater for performances, an education center for classes, lectures, and hands-on learning, and spaces for community programs and events. Here's some quick background. The building opened to the public in 2009. It closed in 2014, and then the center was reestablished with a new 501c3, new board, and new president, CEO, and artistic director, Janice Burley Wilson. The August Wilson African American Cultural Center reopened in 2017, and it's been going strong ever since. Janice Burley Wilson is a cultural innovator with over two decades of leadership in Pittsburgh. And we're kicking off Women's History Month by looking at some of the cultural programming Janice has brought to the center. Under her guidance, the August Wilson African American Cultural Center offers year-round visual arts, music, dance, theater, and film programs, including the annual Pittsburgh International Jazz Festival, the Highmark Blues and Heritage Festival, the We Want the Funk Festival, the Black Bottom Film Festival, and free, family-friendly community days. The center is focused on the Pittsburgh community, and in fact, the gallery exhibitions and 50% of the center's programming are free and open to the public. The center both shines a spotlight on future innovators in arts and culture and advances the legacy of its namesake, Pittsburgh native August Wilson. The center isn't just named for Wilson, he's its driving force. And that's where I began my conversation with Janice Burley Wilson, who's no relation to the playwright, by the way. I asked her about the centrality of August Wilson's vision to the mission and work of the center. And just for some context, when we spoke, and we spoke remotely, I was recovering from COVID and Janice was recovering from bronchitis. All coughs have been edited out.
We are a performing arts center that presents work in a wide variety of genres, but influenced by the creative process of August Wilson, by the themes that are found in his plays, and we engage artists across genres to tell the story of the African-American experience in the African diaspora through their work, which is what August Wilson was known for, telling the story of the African-American experience throughout the 20th century. The challenges, the triumphs, the joys, the pain, love, betrayal, human concepts, but told through an African-American lens. And that's what we do at the August Wilson African-American Cultural Center. We believe it's an important venue and asset, not just for the African-American community, but for the entire community to learn about the African-American experience and to appreciate the value of the art and culture that has stemmed from the African-American in this United States and people that represent the African diaspora.
May we talk about the building itself for a moment? Because it is a piece of art in and of itself. It is jaw-dropping. Will you describe the building?
Yes, it's an extremely modern building, a lot of steel, a lot of glass. So you can see the city from inside the building and people on the street can see inside the center and really kind of place themselves there at the August Wilson African American Cultural Center. It represents the ships that carried people and culture from Africa to various parts of the world. I mean, if you're standing across the street and look at the building, it looks like a ship. And it's located right at the gateway of the cultural district. So as you are entering the cultural district, it's the first thing that you see. And it's about 66,000 square feet and just a warm and stunning building. I have to say, every day when I go into the office and I walk through the halls of the August Wilson Center, I'm struck by the beauty and just feel very fortunate to have such a great place to work.
Oh, yeah.
And such a beautiful place.
It really is. You've mentioned the cultural district. What is the cultural district in Pittsburgh? What goes on inside of that area?
We are very fortunate to have a cultural district in downtown Pittsburgh. It's a 14-block area where you'll find a number of theaters, galleries, restaurants, different venues that represent food and culinary art, visual art, theater and dance. And the resident companies in the cultural district include the Pittsburgh Cultural Trust, the Pittsburgh Symphony, the Pittsburgh Ballet Theater, Pittsburgh Public Theater, the Civic Light Opera, August Wilson African American Cultural Center. So, you know, as a person who's traveling to Pittsburgh, if you're staying in the cultural district, you can access all of those venues by foot. And so we feel very fortunate to have a thriving cultural district in our downtown.
Nearly half your programming is free, and that is not easy. So,
no.
Oh, good for you. And I know it requires real strategic thinking and some sacrifice. And I'd like you to talk about why this is so important to you and how you make that work.
Well, it's important because we want to serve the entire community if we can, and to eliminate barriers for entry and access to arts and culture. And so programs like our community days, our August Wilson Community Days, or a number of our educational programs and our visual arts galleries, they are free and open to the public every day. So you don't have to come in and pay $25 and make that visit once a quarter. A young person who's interested in August Wilson's work or visual arts can go to the August Wilson African American Cultural Center and spend the day, one day after another, if that's what they choose to do. It is very important to us to make the arts and culture accessible. And we're able to do that with very generous support from the local, Pittsburgh local foundation community. Pittsburgh is known for the generous support of the arts. We also receive a tremendous amount of funding and support from an organization called the Allegheny Regional Asset District, RAD for short. And this organization supports cultural assets within our county to make sure that, for example, the parks are kept beautiful for families to enjoy, so that the August Wilson African American Cultural Center can be open to the public, so that free festivals and things that happen in our city are well supported. And again, just making arts and culture accessible to everyone. That's something that we're very proud of in Pittsburgh. And we feel very fortunate at the August Wilson African American Cultural Center to be recipients of that generous support.
Well, let's talk about some of the programs that you present specifically. First of all, the center is the home to the Pittsburgh International Jazz Festival. Tell me about that.
Well, I am the founder, and I'm also the director of the Pittsburgh International Jazz Festival. It began in 2011. It began as a free festival in the streets of downtown Pittsburgh, and we present world-renowned jazz legends, emerging artists. There are jam sessions. There are just amazing performances, and people have memories dating back to that year, 2011, of seeing some artists that are really well-known now, seeing them for the first time. We take pride in introducing the music-loving community to artists that we feel that, you know, they need to know, they need to hear. That is a festival now that has moved to the Highmark Stadium, which is a soccer stadium here in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. And after the pandemic, after being shut down for a year for the pandemic, and we did the first virtual jazz festival during that time, we moved to Highmark Stadium from the street so that we could ensure safety, cleanliness, and space for people to spread out and really enjoy the music. We were the first to adopt a COVID-safe protocol with requiring proof of vaccination for our festival. And that was difficult to institute, but people that attended appreciated feeling safe. And so we will continue to have the festival. It's a ticketed festival now. It's no longer free. But we think that it's a very good move for us. And as we mentioned and spoke about a bit ago, as you said, 50% of our programs are free and open to the public. We have to find ways to generate revenue. And this is one of the programs that we have decided will help us to sustain our organization into the future. We also have the Highmark Blues and Heritage Festival, which is another.
I was going to ask you, yes, tell me about that.
Yeah, it's a music festival. It's 5 years old. It is a celebration of blues music, but also music that represents heritage of people from around the globe. And you might not know this, but August Wilson was very influenced by blues music. And we felt as though it was a great fit for our center to present a blues festival because the blues were so influential on August Wilson's work. Ma Rainey's Black Bottom is about Ma Rainey, who is a legendary blues artist. But you find traces of blues music throughout the American Century Cycle. So it was a good fit for us programmatically. We also have the only dedicated August Wilson exhibit, permanent exhibit, in the world. It's called August Wilson, The Writer's Landscape. We collaborated with the August Wilson Estate to develop this 4,000 square foot tribute and dedication to August Wilson and his work and his process, the way that he wrote. So there is a room that represents each play in the American Century Cycle. There's also a replica of a coffee shops that August Wilson would go to and sit for hours drinking coffee, smoking cigarettes, and writing. We also have a room that represents his office. We have his actual writing desk, a number of his personal belongings from his library. And the entire exhibit is interactive. It incorporates video. It incorporates sound. There are interactive moments where you can wave your hand over an object and a video will start to play to explain what that particular object represents in his writing trajectory. So we're very proud of that. And again, that is an exhibit that is free to the public. So you can walk through the writer's landscape as often as you like and learn about August Wilson's work and his influences. It's narrated by actors that performed August Wilson's work on Broadway, like Felicia Rashad, Ruben Santiago Hudson, and others, Stephen McKinley Henderson. That is the crown jewel, I would say, of the August Wilson Center right now.
I love the idea of, well, his office, obviously, as the central piece, if you will, but the coffee shop, because August Wilson is rightly celebrated for centering the lives of Black people in his work. But he was centering the lives of working Black people. His people are everyday people. And he made art from the everyday. And it sounds like you wanted the exhibit to acknowledge and celebrate that.
Yes. Yeah. And there are a lot of connections to Pittsburgh within the exhibit. A lot of photography from Teenie Harris, who is a Pittsburgh photographer who documented the African-American experience throughout the middle and later part of the 20th century. And a lot of people from Pittsburgh that were involved in the creation of the exhibit that live and work in the Hill District where August Wilson grew up. And so we were very, very proud of it. Our city is very proud of it. And it was very important to us to engage people from the community that resonated within August Wilson's work, which is the Hill District.
One recent exhibit at the center that seems to me to be in dialogue with August Wilson in a way is Optic Voices, Mama's Boys. Could you tell us about that extraordinary exhibit?
Sure. It's an exhibit that was created by filmmaker and photographer, multidisciplinary artist, Ime Alaquiva. He is our artist in our brand new artist residency program called Build, which is supported by the Richard King Mellon Foundation. And Mama's Boys is an interactive exhibition that focuses on the healing of mothers of victims of systemic violence. And it was conceived and curated by Ime Alaquiva, who traveled throughout the country interviewing and photographing the mothers of victims of systemic violence. It incorporates film, augmented reality, music, that exhibit is truly a view into the hearts and the minds of the mothers of victims of systemic violence, where they get a chance to speak and talk about how they feel, how they're handling what has happened to them, and also giving a view into the lives of the people that were the victims. And it really invites the arts patron into the lives of these mothers. And it struck people and made them think and, you know, ponder, what does healing look like? So we're very proud of that exhibit. Our hope is that it will travel to other institutions around the country. We're working on that now. So people in other places will get a chance to see Optic Voices, Mama's Boys, in the future.
You also have the Black Bottom Film Festival.
Yes, very excited about that. So the Black Bottom Film Festival is a celebration of Black film makers, creators, actors, directors, screenwriters, scenic designers. And this is a program that started 6 years ago. We took some time off during the pandemic, but we're coming back in fall of 2023. We're thrilled that one of our guests will be Dr. Jacqueline Stewart, who is a host on Turner Classic Movies and the new president of the Academy of Motion Pictures Museum in Los Angeles. She will be talking to the descendants of Oscar Michaud, who is a groundbreaking filmmaker, a Black man who created films with all Black casts. He was one of the first to do that. And we will be screening some of his silent films, and we're accepting submissions from independent filmmakers. So those will be screened. And really excited about that returning to the August Wilson African American Cultural Center.
Okay. You are the artistic director, so you have a part in bringing all of this to life. How do you keep your head screwed on straight with all these balls being juggled in the air?
Yes, that's a great question. Well, I'm very passionate about what I do. I care about it deeply, and I also feel a responsibility to the African-American community, the Black community, or just the community as a whole, to showcase and highlight and illuminate the gifts, the challenges, the triumphs of Black artists here in our region and also just globally. I think that we have an opportunity to have a global reach with our programming, and I'm committed to that. But as far as keeping my head on straight, it's difficult because, as you said, I'm the artistic director. So I'm thinking about what I want to share with our attendees, with our patrons. But I'm also thinking about how to pay for it, how to hire people that also share that passion to fulfill the mission of the center, which is to be a home for art and storytelling and exchange of ideas around the African-American experience and the African diaspora. Finding people that are committed to that as well is not always easy to do. And when we find one another, we rejoice in our ability to do that. And I think that we have a great team at the center, really talented people, a lot of young people, and they are very committed to the center and to sharing arts and culture that is grounded or rooted in the African American experience with the world.
Well, tell me about you. Were you born and raised in Pittsburgh?
Yes, my family is an old Pittsburgh family. My maiden name is Burley, and my parents grew up maybe 2 miles from one another, and both had large families that came together. And they are also, you know, Pittsburgh lovers, very committed to the city. I went to University of Pittsburgh, so I went to school here. And then I went to graduate school at Duquesne University, again, Pittsburgh. And then I left when I got married and traveled, but I always ended up coming back to Pittsburgh because Pittsburgh's a family town, and people joke that people from Pittsburgh, we leave, but we always end up coming home. We always end up coming home and appreciating what we have that's unique to Pittsburgh. And I think Pittsburgh is very strongly family-oriented. We're very proud of our city, proud of one another, and we love to make people that come to Pittsburgh feel welcome, feel a part of our community. And I've noticed that when I go other places. I've done a lot of traveling, but nothing comes close to that family feeling that you feel here in Pittsburgh. So being at a place like the August Wilson African American Cultural Center, named for a Pittsburgh native, and creating events that bring people together to reunite, to make new friends and to celebrate with old friends, is really a gift. I'm very grateful and thankful to be in this role.
Where were the arts in your life when you were a kid growing up?
All around me. My mother was a school teacher. She taught for 33 years and loved fiber art. So, I always watched her sew, watched her quilt. We went to the museum a lot. My father loves music, loves jazz specifically. So I definitely got that from him. We always heard music in our house. And he, as a little girl, would encourage me to buy records. That's what we would do on Saturdays. We would go to Dorsey's record store in Homewood, which is a predominantly Black neighborhood where my father's family is from. They're from Homewood. And we would go to the record store and spend hours there buying the 45s that, that I heard on the radio. And I still have all of those records, too. And sometimes I steal some of his. He has a really extensive music collection. But it's always been a part of our lives. And so I feel like, this is the dream come true to be able to immerse myself in art, music, every day, and get paid for it. What a gift. Yeah.
Well, you came to the center with a great career as an arts administrator and an arts presenter. Tell us a little bit about what you had been doing before you came to the August Wilson African American Cultural Center.
I was at the Pittsburgh Cultural Trust, which is a large performing arts center. I was there for 15 years as vice president of education and community engagement. And again, another wonderful role. I learned a lot. Got a chance to create some signature programs for Pittsburgh's cultural district that are still, mainstay programs that attract people from all over the region and outside of Pittsburgh to enjoy the cultural district. And I was there for 15 years, so it was a great place to train and learn. And I literally moved two blocks away when I joined the August Wilson African American Cultural Center, because it's literally just a few blocks from where I was working for 15 years. The cultural district is very different from what it was when I was growing up in Pittsburgh. So it's been a real joy to see the development of galleries and theaters and restaurants. We have a great restaurant scene downtown. It's a great place to visit.
Well, you've been considered a leader in understanding that arts can be a great catalyst for economic development, which is certainly something the NEA highlights. And I'd love to hear you speak a little bit more about that.
Sure. The Pittsburgh Cultural Trust is known for using the arts and culture as a catalyst for development. That's basically the premise of the Pittsburgh Cultural Trust. And using the art in the theaters to attract people, to attract entrepreneurs, has been a successful model in Pittsburgh and has been replicated around the country. But in my role at the Pittsburgh Cultural Trust, I started a program called the Gallery Crawl, which was really a way to experiment with the idea that, what would the cultural district look like if there were a lot of galleries side by side and a lot of restaurants and art happening all at the same time, where you could just come downtown and happen upon art. And when I started the gallery crawl in 2004, there was one gallery that the Pittsburgh Cultural Trust owned, and then there was another independent gallery. But we would take these vacant storefronts and turn them into galleries for the night. And people would just come downtown and walk around and meet their friends. And there weren't a lot of restaurants back then. But slowly over time, that program created a scene for downtown where you could go down and just... You didn't need a ticket. You could just go downtown and walk around and enjoy different kinds of art, discover new genres, decide whether you liked it or not without a whole lot of investment, because the gallery crawl was free. And that's a program that's still going strong. And as leading the August Wilson African American Cultural Center, we participate in the gallery crawl. We look forward to that because it gives us an opportunity to showcase new art, to invite people in to learn about a program that's coming up, or and also to showcase local artists, to give them a platform for their work. That's something that we're really committed to at the August Wilson African American Cultural Center with our programs like our community day, we'll hire a crew of local artists to sell their work or to perform or show their film or talk about their visual art that's on the wall. It's a great opportunity to invite communities together to celebrate art.
You know, you mentioned quite casually that you founded the Pittsburgh International Jazz Festival. And I mean, this could be a whole podcast in and of itself, but I'm just so curious how you could even begin to begin something like that.
Well, I was doing jazz programming before the festival started. I started a weekly jazz series in 2003. And working with our local jazz artist here in Pittsburgh, we're so fortunate to have so many talented jazz musicians that live here and work here, that tour around the world with other artists. But I mean, these are like the best of the best. And they're friends. And so in 2003, started a summer weekly program, summer weekly jazz series that slowly developed into some ticketed programs. And then eventually we decided that it was time for Pittsburgh to have a festival again. A decade had passed since we had an annual jazz festival in the city. And sometimes when you don't know enough, you think you can do everything. And I think that that's what made me believe that I could pull it off, that I didn't know how hard it would be. But again, so fortunate to have so many great jazz musicians in Pittsburgh and people that love the music, that we all came together to create this thing that has now grown into a destination for people around the world. We have people that fly in from different parts of the world for the festival. One year we presented a band called El Gran Combo, which is a legendary salsa band. They're like the Beatles in Puerto Rico. And they flew in and did the show, and the streets were just packed with people from all over the country that came to our city of Pittsburgh to hear this band play. It was amazing. We love inviting people to come and enjoy music with us, and I think that part of the success of the festival is really the people of Pittsburgh, because people are very warm and inviting. And when people travel here from other places, they comment on the feeling, the vibe that they feel when they come to our festival. It's really a celebration. You look out into the audience and you see people of all races and people of different varying backgrounds, and they forget about their political views for a minute when that beat drops. You know, they love the music together, and then everybody goes on their way. But I think that that's one of the things that I love about what I do, is that there's so much power in art and music that bring people together that might not normally have anything in common.
Agreed. What is the most challenging part of the work that you do?
Well, you know, coming out of a pandemic has been very eye-opening for myself and other arts presenters. A lot of studies have taken place in the last 2 years to figure out what people want, what they're comfortable with. Are they comfortable returning to the theater? Are they comfortable coming out and being around people? Are they comfortable paying? Or do they just want to stay home and watch all of these movie channels? And we're finding that it's not as easy as we thought. People aren't returning as easily and as quickly as we thought they would. I think we all were under the impression that as soon as it was safe to do so, people would flock to the theaters and flock to different venues. And that's just not the case. So I think we're all trying to, all of the people that are in this field as arts presenters, we're trying to figure out what people want, what they're willing to pay for, what they're willing to invest their time on. And nobody really knows the answer, because no one has had an experience like surviving a pandemic before. There's no one we can call and say, what did you do during that last pandemic? We're all trying to figure it out. And that's been the biggest challenge, I think, for our organization. And also, I would say, learning how to plan for the future that's so uncertain. That's the biggest challenge for our organization right now. Like, what's the appetite? What are people willing to do? And people might not even know it yet. So it's not like we can just go and ask people and then all of a sudden we have the answer. Everyone's trying to figure this out, and we just have to be patient with one another until we have a better understanding of what the world is going to look like post-pandemic for arts and culture.
And what is the most gratifying part of your job?
Oh, the most gratifying part, I think, is seeing people react to the music or the art on the wall, you know, seeing people walk into the Optic Voices exhibit and rejoice in the fact that healing can occur after something so traumatic happens to a person's family, or people jumping to their feet and clapping for an artist on stage. That's really what's gratifying to me, seeing groups of students attend a play and learn about an artist. We just had a one-man play called Frederick Douglass Now with the award-winning actor Roger Guinevere Smith. And we had a student matinee that was completely full theater. And the students were hanging on every word, and they had the best questions afterwards. And it just really made me feel like all of the work that we put into it is worth it, because there are students that were in that theater that their lives were changed in some way. They learned something that day. They probably went home and discussed it with a sister or a brother or a parent. It makes all the work, all the uncertainty that we discussed and the craziness of being an artistic director and the president and sometimes the marketing director, it makes it all worth it.
So what's ahead for the August Wilson African American Cultural Center in 2023? And what would you hope 5 years from now?
Well, what's coming up? We have a really exciting season. We are presenting a full season of music. Peebo Bryson, the legendary R&B singer, Michelle Ndegio Cello, Georgia Ann Muldrew, who's a jazz sort of neo-soul artist. We have Syncopated Ladies, the tap dance group. They'll be performing. Nikki Giovanni is coming. That's just through June. And then we get ready for a fall of festivals with the Pittsburgh International Jazz Festival in September, the Black Bottom Film Festival at the end of October, the Highmark Blues and Heritage Festival in November. And then we have our annual funk weekend. It's called We Want the Funk Festival, which is a weekend of legendary funk artists. That's in December. So it's a busy time, and lots of educational programs throughout the year, in person and virtually. We also have a wonderful program that I'm really proud of. It's a literary salon program that is curated and hosted by our literary curator, poet Jessica Lene. And it's called Lit Fridays. It's a monthly program that happens online where she will interview writers, poets, artists, and where they talk about their work. They also have another program called the Vinyl Report, which is a jazz music vinyl discussion between our host, Tom Wint, who is a jazz drummer, and people that love jazz. And they talk about the records that have been most influential for them. And Tom has just this amazing record collection, thousands and thousands of records, but also he's an historian and he knows every liner note. He knows every detail about where the records were recorded and who was on the session and who was doing mixing. I mean, he's just an encyclopedia. So we have a lot of really great programs coming up. I get excited when I start to listen, like, oh, I could go on and on and on. We work very hard at the center to try to make sure there's something for everyone, and that while they're entertaining, they're also educational programs. We have a lot going on in 2023, and as far as 5 years from now, I'm hoping that we are a household name globally, and that the August Wilson African American Cultural Center is considered to be a premier performing arts center, and that we are a place where people that want to learn about August Wilson will travel to learn about his life and his work.
And then finally, I'm curious what you think, and this can be a big question. What is August Wilson still teaching us? What are we still learning from him?
Well, I think we're learning that our stories matter, that our stories are important. Everyone has a story, and that other people can learn from your stories. And that's what I get from August Wilson, that everyone has a story, and their lives are significant and can influence or enhance someone else's life. Sharing stories is important.
And I think that's a great place to leave it. Janice, thank you so much. I really appreciate it. And thank you for the terrific work that you and the center are doing in Pittsburgh.
Thank you very much. It's great talking to you.
That was President, CEO, and Artistic Director of the August Wilson African American Cultural Center, Janice Burley Wilson. We'll have a link to the center's website in our show notes so you can keep up with its extraordinary programming. You've been listening to Artworks, produced at the National Endowment for the Arts. We'd love to know your thoughts. Email us at artworkspod@arts.gov. And follow us wherever you get your podcasts. And leave us a rating on Apple because it helps other people who love the arts to find us. For the National Endowment for the Arts, I'm Josephine Reed. Thanks for listening.